everything's on the Sport Buffet menu. It's your choice with Matt West.
Welcome to the Sport Buffet. We're so glad that you are here. We have a very exciting segment for you. We have Mac Rogers, NHL expert extraordinaire. I think NHL expert kind of downplays the fact that he is an overall hockey expert. But, you know, we'll talk about that. But anyways, Mac Rogers. Mac, are you there?
I am here.
Excellent. Excellent. We're glad to have you, Mac.
Thank you. Nice to be on again.
Excellent. Well, I'm looking at the NHL, and as I look at the Eastern Conference, which we talked about almost the whole time last time, so I don't want to get too wrapped up in it this time, but I look from Philadelphia, Carolina, Pittsburgh, and I guess to a lesser extent, Montreal and the New York Rangers, there's a lot of position changing that could occur out, you know, in the East. It looks like Boston's pretty much wrapped up the one seed. In fact, they may have mathematically, but if they haven't, it's coming very shortly.
Yeah, they're very close.
Yeah, and then Washington and New Jersey look like they're having the 2-3 battle, the battle for second and third seed. And then you have a bunch of teams. Which team needs to get the fourth seed and get home ice advantage in that first round of those teams?
That's a good question. You know, honestly, I think all the teams seem well-positioned to beat each other regardless of home ice.
Okay.
I think when you look at the teams that are battling that out, there's just so much familiarity. I think that if you look at Carolina and maybe Pittsburgh, I think those are two teams that if they were to garner home ice, that would speak volumes to their push that they've had in the last few weeks. And may just give that team an extra boost, sort of saying we were concerned about making the playoffs, and here we are now with home ice. That just continues to build that confidence, which is so important this time of year.
Okay. The other question I have about the East is, as I look at New Jersey, that's a team that, I guess, what, a week ago, they were challenging Boston for the best record in the conference, and they've only won 3 of their last 10 games. And if I'm not mistaken, they've lost their last 5 or 6. Having said that, is this just a blip? It's an 82-game season. Everyone has cold spells. Or is this something that's going to worry you?
Well, they have just been an absolute mess in the last 5 or 6 games. Now, they did win last night in Tampa in kind of a crazy game, which I think might actually snap them into gear. They played a game in midweek against Pittsburgh where they just looked flat out awful. And there were situations where their coach got kind of in the face of the referees after an altercation between periods, and that sort of seemed like it might have started to pump some blood into that team. There's just too much talent on that club to count them out right now. And they had an overtime win, I said, against Tampa. Their backup goalie started the game and then got injured. Marty Brodeur came in and helped lead the team in a comeback overtime win. I would keep a close eye on them. I think that they may start to put the foot on the gas and start to make a little playoff push here.
Mac, this is Tex. I had a question for you. Wanted to get your thought on something. I'm a pretty new hockey fan, so help me understand something. You've got a team sitting there in the 9th spot in the East, in the Florida Panthers, who have they've played pretty well this year. In overtime, they're 4-3, but in shootouts, they're 3-8. And you know, when you're sitting there 2 points out of the playoff race, how can you explain a team who's playing above 500, who does pretty well in OT, but yet 3-8 in shootouts? I mean, is that just an odd thing there, or is there any way you can explain that?
Yeah, I still think that the shootout is a relatively new, process in how games are decided in the NHL. And it's funny, it's almost like when they first started doing it, it's almost like the players didn't take it seriously. I think they thought it was more of an exhibition. At the end of the day, it's like free throws in basketball. I mean, there's a real bonus on the table if you can accomplish winning shootout games. And right now, at the end of the season, when the points are starting to get mashed together, you start to see the importance of trying to gain points in any instance you can.
Wow.
So I'm sure the Panthers are kicking themselves. You know, if they had a couple more points or some more success in some of those shootouts, they may be sitting in a 7 or 6 seed right now as opposed to being outside looking in.
Yeah, Mike, that's a great example, referring to it kind of like the free throw. I think that's a great example. Yeah, when you have 22 points possible there and you only score 6, I think you could really find yourselves really upset and can point to one specific thing there. So
Well, Tex, just to quickly correct you, they do get 1 point for those overtime losses, so that would be 8. You know, so they did get 14 of the 22, but still there's 8 points they left there on the table, and that's a very good point. Having said that, as I look to the playoff picture and I look to the West, because, you know, the West is the place to look now, there's one team that really has caught my eye, not being quite the NHL historian that you are, Mac, but knowing that this is their first trip to the playoffs ever. The Columbus Blue Jackets. It looks like they're going to make the playoffs for the first time ever. They got 88 points. They're 4 points ahead of Nashville, who's the team that could sneak in, I guess, beyond them. So in 5 games, they need to earn at least 4 points unless Nashville doesn't get all of them, which is quite possible. How big of a story is this in the greater hockey community?
I think it's an exciting one. I mean, you know, the league is, I think, attractive, similar to the NFL in its parity. And to say that every franchise in the league, if Columbus can clinch a playoff spot, which I think they will.
Right.
I think that just speaks volumes to the competition level. And then for the city of Columbus, you know, that team's been there over 10 years, and they haven't had a taste of really sort of the sweet juice of what hockey and NHL hockey specifically is all about, and that is a playoff race and ultimately being in the playoffs. I actually talked to a guy yesterday who is in Columbus, you know, obviously a big Ohio State guy and has been a college guy for a long time, but they are really fired up. People are starting to buy tickets. They're talking about tailgating and bringing, you know, a college enthusiasm and atmosphere to the playoffs for the NHL, and that's like a match made in heaven. So
yeah.
I think that's awesome for the city.
Excellent, excellent. Now, Mac, you bringing up college, and I can't help but think of the Frozen Four, which is going on. When does that start tonight? Is that when the first matchup is, or is that
they're gonna play next week?
Next week, okay.
Thursday and Saturday.
Okay, but as I look at that, one of the teams to get there is Bemidji. I hope I said it right for those who live there. But Bemidji State, which is it's similar in some respects to George Mason last year, just making a huge run. They have made it to the Frozen Four. How big of a story do you think that is, Mac?
Well, I got to tell you, you know, I don't watch a lot of college hockey.
Right.
And fortunately, with my wife being from Minnesota, which where Bemidji State is located, helped me to at least keep my finger on this one. But when I started to do a little research and heard some people talking about it, it started to come out to be a pretty fascinating story. This is the lowest seed, or highest seed, however you want to think of it, but the most unlikely candidate to be in the Frozen Four in the history of that tournament. So
right.
It's a pretty big deal. I'll certainly watch them play just to see sort of the drama unfold, but I think it's exciting for a team that has been bouncing around in different conferences and doesn't really have an identity to show people that you can win games and on the big stage.
Right. Now, do you think, and I guess this is just an opinion question, there's no right or wrong answer, but we saw last year one of the 4 seeds get into the College World Series. We're seeing this year Bemidji State, or, you know, however you say it, getting to the Frozen Four. We saw George Mason get to the Final Four a few years back. Which of those do you think is the biggest accomplishment? I guess the best way to put it is it more impressive for a lesser team in hockey to pull off 3 or 4 upsets, or in basketball, or in baseball, even though that's a double elimination format? Which do you think is the most impressive?
I think I'd have to side with college basketball. You know, the Frozen Four tournament is only, I believe, 16 teams that qualify. So you could argue to say it's harder to get in. So
right.
Once you're in, but I just the NCAA tournament, the men's basketball tournament, with the kind of public eye and media scrutiny and all of that's involved in that event. I mean, now they're playing games in domes, it seems like, in the first and second round now, which that's sort of new to me.
Right.
I got to give George Mason the big nod on that. I think that kind of stuff is just incredible.
Although George Mason was, a 10 or 11 seed? Tex will probably correct me on that because he's the expert in that area.
Yeah, 11.
Yeah, they were 11 seed, which still you have seeds below them, and I think that's probably why it doesn't happen as much in college basketball. I think you've pinpointed it, is because it's so hard to do. An 11 seed making is an accomplishment, but this team, the Bemidji State getting in, would be more equivalent to a 15 or 16 seed making it to the Frozen Four because they were the lowest seed. So I think to some degree it's more difficult, but that's why we celebrate a lesser thing. When Villanova got in 85 as an 8 seed, we thought that was just amazing. So I think we relax the standards in basketball onto what we call an accomplishment, because if we waited for a 15 or 16 seed, it just would never happen. Now, going back to the NHL, because I thought that was a good story, but I don't want to camp out there for too long because I don't know how much of the country is watching it. I didn't even know when the final games were.
I had to look it up too, Matt. So I mean, that's
all right. Something. Well, I feel less ludicrous at this point. But my question is, when you have a defenseman, and I grew up as a big Ulf Samuelsson fan, so you know I'm sure you'll take that to heart. And when they score a lot of goals, and I remember when I played soccer growing up, when we had defenders or midfielders scoring a lot of goals and leading the team in scoring, our coach would always say, you know, that's a bad sign because that means they're not doing what their actual job is very well. But we have Mike Green from the Washington Capitals, who's a defenseman, who's now hit the 30-goal mark for the first time in 16, 17 years since Kevin Hatcher did it, I think. Is that a sign of his team not being that good and he's having to step up? Or is that just an extraordinary personal event? Or is it a fluke? I mean, what do you think of that?
Well, I think it's a tremendous accomplishment. I mean, scoring goals can be fluky. I mean, you hear the superstars say that they're doing all the same things and the bounces just aren't going their way. So, I mean, there is sort of a hockey god, you know, blessing, I guess, if you want to put it that way. At least that's what the players talk about. But it takes a tremendous amount of skill, and I think somewhat, to a certain extent, a team philosophy that they allow their defense to play, you know, in an offensive position as far as pressuring the puck up the ice and allowing them to have the free reign to score. The thing that's amazing about Mike Green is that he scores a lot of power play goals. I think he's got well over half of his goals are power play goals, so that tells you that he's got a tremendous amount of support and that the coaching staff has endorsed him, you know, being able to have the freedom to score. So it's
now this
but in
is,
a tight NHL like this, you know, defense being so pure and so important, and goaltending being the way it is, 30 goals plus 30 for a defenseman now is amazing.
Yeah, now this is where I'm going to show off my ignorance here, but it seems to me like if you're a defenseman, most of your goals would be power play goals because that's when the attack from the opposing team is not as strong, but you know, what do I know? Now we've only got a couple minutes left, so we're gonna have to close up here with you. But I know you like to look ahead and look at some games there, Max. So if you want to tell us about some opportunities to watch on TV and maybe some things to watch in the playoff picture in the next week, you got about a minute and a half.
Okay. Here's one thing that I think people should keep an eye on. The New York Rangers, I have a little fear in them. They're currently holding the 8th spot in the East. I just have a sneaky feeling that they're going to slip out of that playoff spot, and that's going to open the door for possibly the Panthers to sneak in. So just keep an eye out for the Rangers. They've got a recipe for possible disaster there.
Wow.
Which would be a real disappointment because that's a huge, huge hockey fan base.
It is.
As far as hockey games coming up on national TV, you've got Minnesota playing in Detroit at 12:30 on NBC. That's on Sunday. Detroit obviously trying to get the wheels back on the wagon. and make that playoff push, and Minnesota's fighting for their life, basically, as far as trying to qualify for the playoffs in that final, in the eighth spot in the West.
Right.
And then on Monday night, Detroit again, so it's an all-Detroit fanfare for you national TV fans. Detroit versus Buffalo on Versus, and I would just say keep an eye on your local listings. There's a lot of good games coming up that have a major impact on the playoffs, which is right around the corner.
Right, and we'll have you in a few weeks and talk about can anyone beat Detroit.
They are tough.
They've been tough for years. They've got a good system there. They're, I would say, the equivalent of the New England Patriots. And
they are exactly like the New England Patriots. They have some weaknesses. But they do. They just plug players in like the Patriots do.
They're the equivalent of the Patriots and the Steelers combined, I think. They've got something like 7 titles in 13 years. They're amazing. Well, thanks for coming on, Mac. We're pushed up against the end of the hour here. Thanks for coming on. We appreciate it. We'll have you back when we talk some NHL playoffs here in a bit.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks, Mac. That was Mac Rogers, extraordinaire. Hockey extraordinaire. Good guy. And anyway, that's what we got. We're about to end this hour. We're going to come back with Lou DiPietro, the NFL draft expert that we have, and we're going to talk some NFL, we're going to talk some NBA, and we will get to the Final Four. Don't worry, this is the Sport Buffet, and come back with us next hour.